if you look at the statement from the State Department, it accused them of facilitating a number of things for both sides in the conflict. One person, Saleh Ghosh, for instance, and the other person who is the, I forget his name now, who is the head of the, former head of the National Intelligence and Security Service in Sudan, together with Saleh Ghosh, who was also head of the security agency, accused of undermining democracy. One person was has been accused of supporting the RSF. So those are the crimes that are, that they are accused of. And in the mind of the United States government, these the actions that these three men were involved in constituted a process to undermine the democratic process in Sudan.
And it's interesting that Taha Othman, who was director in the office of Omar al-Bashir, the former ousted president, ended up supporting the other side, the RSF.
RSF. Yes, I mean, in the political marketplace in Sudan, there have been significant changes in allegiance. And there has been a switch, as you see, this is someone who worked for Omar al-Bashir, but he was a key supporter of the RSF. In fact, he is mentioned as being instrumental in having the act that legitimized the RSF as one of the security forces of Sudan in 2017.
And what can we hope that this will achieve? And what seems to be the broader strategy here for the U.S.?
In and of themselves, these actions, the sanctions against the three individuals, while commendable, is not going to bring an end to the fighting. These sanctions need to be supplemented by other other measures. For instance, while you sanction someone to send a signal that, you know, if you're not serious about peace, these are some of the consequences that your officials will face, it's also important to look at the diplomatic strategy to achieve peace, so that there should be a diplomatic strategy that complements the sanctions. For instance, the appointment of the U.S. should appoint a special envoy for Sudan. A presidential envoy, actually, would be preferable. And this person should be reporting directly to the White House, to the office of the president, the White House in the United States, rather than to the department in the United States, State Department, which is just focused on African affairs. That will be junior, because the a presidential envoy who is reporting directly to President Biden would be seen to have more clout with the Sudanese actors in the conflict and with the region and the mediators and other actors in the conflict that are accused of supporting both sides. For instance, the United States, the United Arab Emirates, Chad, Egypt, and even Saudi Arabia. So it's important to have someone of that stature and significance reporting directly to the president.
Finally, I noticed that all three individuals who are sanctioned this time around belong to the former administration of Omar al-Bashir, including his former spy chief, Saleh Ghosh, and the director, Taha Othman, but no one who is now active holding office right now. The other thing, there are atrocities that are ongoing now in Darfur and other places across Sudan being reported by human rights organizations. It seems the State Department is considering, or maybe a little bit behind the news, like they're not responding to what's happening directly now. How do you read this?
Well, I think I read it from the perspective of access to information. If you're going to sanction someone, you must have information about them that indicates that they're complicit in some wrongdoing. And I believe that is actually a challenge for anyone who's trying to hold anybody accountable in a conflict zone. I think that I'm not a member of the United States government, but I would think that they are in the process of probably gathering more information. And when they do have information, probably such measures will be enacted.